Today, our topic is so exciting because it has to do with the importance of not just knowing God's will, but doing God's will. If I were to ask you, how many of you really desire to do God's will? Raise your hand. You will only know God's will if you desire to do His will. But can I tell you something? It's one thing to know God's will. It's another thing to do it. It's another thing to want to do God's will and the ability to do God's will. They're not the same. You can have a desire to do God's will, but you don't have the power. Today, the good news is this. I'm going to share with you how not only will you know God's will, but you have the power to do His will. This is something precious to me. Not just knowing, but doing and having the power to do God's will. I'm reminded of people that have come to us. This guy is into pornography. He has been wanting to get rid of pornography. He just could not. And he was very honest. You see, it's one thing to know God's will. It's another thing to be able to do it. I know of a lady. She was living in an immoral relationship. She wanted to give it up, but she could not. Until she encountered the power of the Lord Jesus. So many of us need supernatural power because the Christian life is not hard. It is impossible. So today, I want to review quickly what we've been doing. Last Sunday, I believe, in the book of Acts, you were in Acts 18, and you were discussing Apollos and the others in Corinth. You recall last Sunday? Corinth. This Sunday, we're going to discuss Acts chapter 18 in Ephesus. So today, you will learn the significance of this particular place, Ephesus, how the church got started in Ephesus. You know how it started? Let's read this together. Experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, experience the power of the Holy Spirit. One more time, tell your neighbor, experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read together. Okay, the preamble of this message. Together, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Everybody, you shall be my witnesses. Look at the timing of God. I did not realize this is the memory verse for the week. Two things you will learn from this verse. Number one, God wants you to experience power. We have an amazing God. He not only wants me to do His will, He gives me the power to do His will. In this verse, you also find out what is God's will for you. What is God's will? Together, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Everybody read, and you shall be my witnesses. So God wants you and I to be His witnesses, but we need His power. So today, the outline is so simple. The outline, ladies and gentlemen, one main point. What's the main point? Experience the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, you will see three main subdivisions. The first subdivision is they need power to live like Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot live like Jesus. Number two, you will discover you need the Holy Spirit to understand God's Word. And number three, you will need the Holy Spirit to overcome evil. So you will find that in Acts chapter 9. But just remember one point. What's the main point? Experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? All right, let's begin. Acts 19, verse 1. Together. It happened while Apollos, you discussed this last week, Apollos, was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. I want you to know something about this city called Ephesus. This was the capital of the Roman Empire in the Asia Minor region. So this place is rich, is the center of commerce, is the center of the Roman government, but above all, this is the center of superstitious belief. It is the center of witchcraft. It is the center of demons. This is one place where you will notice the biggest temple in the world was built right in Ephesus. I'm going to discuss that next week. In the meantime, you must have an idea now in your mind. Ephesus was a very significant city. And then Paul found some disciples. Now, when you see the word disciples, do not automatically think they are Christians. Why? In the Bible, you have disciples of John, you have disciples of Jesus, You have the disciples of the Pharisees. So a disciple is simply a learner, a follower. Are we communicating? So he found some disciples. And they are very sincere. You know why? Look at what Paul asked them. Everybody read together. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Has anybody asked you that question? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why was this question asked? We don't exactly know why, but here is the theory of many scholars. Paul looked at this group of people seemingly acting like Christians, acting like sincere believers, except he does not sense the presence of God in their lives. No joy, no peace, whatever it is. So he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Because when you believe, you are supposed to have the Holy Spirit. What was their answer? They said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." So what kind of disciples are these? And then Paul asked them another question. "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Now, Paul was not thinking, are these real believers or not? But they're sincere. Paul explained, everybody read, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." Paul began to explain to this group of sincere believers, but they are not yet completed believers because they only heard about John. So Paul is saying, John's baptism, the teaching of John are as follows. Number one, you will read this in Luke chapter 3. This is the teaching of John. "And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism," everybody read, "a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." You see, this is very radical. You know why? The Jewish people believe forgiveness is only possible when you bring an animal and sacrifice that in the temple. For them, it's all about religion. It's all about ritual. Here comes John. Forgiveness is possible, provided you are sincere in repentance. You got to repent in order to experience forgiveness. Wow. No wonder when John was preaching, he focused on repentance. "Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.'" Don't depend on your religion. Because you are Jewish, you need to repent. So John's teaching is turn away from sin, then you turn to the coming Messiah. Now, they don't fully know who is this coming Messiah yet. But John is about to discover who is the coming Messiah. What do I mean? Look at John chapter 1, verse 35 to 37. "The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples." Notice, the same word used, disciples, but not exactly followers of Jesus. Disciples of John. "And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus." Can you see the picture? The mission of John is to tell people, repent. Turn from your sin and turn to the coming Messiah, Jesus. So that's the message of John. And as Paul explained this to them, the Bible tells us, when they heard this, everybody read, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you have the first occurrence of re-baptize. They're baptized again. Because the first baptism did not exactly count. They don't know Jesus, just like many of us. When you were born, when you were a baby, many of you were baptized. but you have no idea what you were being baptized for. The same thing with these people. They were baptized under John's teaching. I want to repent. I identify with John. But Paul is now saying you need to know something about the Messiah. The Messiah is Jesus. He died and rose again from the dead. When they understood that, okay, they trusted in Jesus. So that's the idea here. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12. Notice something unique and weird. You know why I call it weird? Look at the sequence. They got baptized. And then Paul laid his hands. And then they received the Holy Spirit. And then they spoke in tongues. And then they began to prophesy. How come? If you don't know how to interpret the Bible, you will misapply this verse. And that's why I want to teach you. This is very important. You must know the difference between descriptive and prescriptive passages. What is a descriptive passage? A passage is descriptive if it is simply describing something that happened. While a passage is prescriptive if it is specifically teaching that something should happen. Let me give you an example. In the Bible, you have many descriptive passages. Many people, I remember when they were younger in the faith, they read the Bible, they came to me, "Peter, it's okay, I can have more than one wife." I said, "Why?" "Look at David. David had more than one wife. And the Bible says he's very pleasing to God." I said, Brad. That is called descriptive passage. They are describing what was David's life. Another guy came to me, "Wow, I can be like Solomon." Because Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines. "You see, it's okay." "Excuse me, sir. That is what you call descriptive." Descriptive passages are describing what was happening. Prescriptive passages are different. It prescribes your behavior. For example, in the book of Timothy, the New Testament, many of those letters are doctrinal. Husband of one wife. Where do you find that? 1 Timothy, chapter 3. In other words, you have to understand what are descriptive, what are prescriptive. The book of Acts, many of it is a narrative. It's a story. It's telling us what happened. So, for example, in the book of Acts, there was no fixed pattern for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. No fixed pattern. Why? It's a narrative. It is telling us what God did from the Old Testament to the transition to the New Testament. What did God do? God introduced the Holy Spirit. So in the book of Acts, for the first time, the Holy Spirit was poured out to the Jewish people. So look at what happened. No laying of hands. All spoke in tongues to prove they have the Holy Spirit. So these are languages, not noise. To prove that they have the Holy Spirit. Supernatural languages. But you understand them. Ilocano, Bisaya. But if you are in those parts of the world, it's the languages there. Sound of wind, like fire, they got baptized. The next outpouring of the Holy Spirit is in Acts chapter 10 for the Gentiles. Remember, Gentiles and Jews don't mix. God wanted to communicate something. When it comes to the kingdom of God, all of you are together. So what did God do? He sent Peter to preach. No laying of hands. What happened? All of them spoke in tongues. Then they got baptized. Another occurrence, Acts 19. Who are these people? The Ephesians. Who are these people? In complete knowledge, John's disciple. These are sincere Old Testament believers. They followed the teaching of John, but incomplete.
So, what did God do? He allowed Paul to re-evangelize them, re-baptize them, laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came. Then they spoke in tongues. Why am I bringing this up? Because many people use this verse to prove that you need somebody to lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit. They use a narrative passage to prove a doctrine that if you don't speak in tongues, something is wrong. They use this kind of narrative. My friend, I want to teach you narrative versus prescriptive. In CCF, we don't want shallow Christians. We want you to grow deep in the Word of God so that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So, what is an example of what was happening? Well, let me tell you. For example, this is an example of what I just read to you. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening. Do you notice? No laying of hands. And then what happened? The Bible tells us they were all hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. You see, the evidence of the Holy Spirit was a language. Then Peter answered, everybody read, surely no one can refuse the water for this to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit. Do you notice? They received the Holy Spirit first before they were even baptized. No fixed pattern. Just as we did. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So what's my point? Narrative passages is telling us what was happening. But today, after reading the entire book of Acts and reading the New Testament, you can now begin to understand the proper sequence is believe, then you're baptized. When you believe, you have the Holy Spirit. What's my proof? Let us look at doctrinal statement. Let's read together. Together, everybody. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Today, this afternoon, you have two kinds of people in this room. In the flesh and not in the flesh. How do you know? Read the next verse. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. According to the Bible, based on doctrine, who is a Christian? Who? According to the Bible, look at this verse. Who is a Christian? If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Can you now see why this is so important? Some of you are like the Ephesian believers. You have been going to church, but no transformation. Is it possible you are sincere, but you don't have the Spirit of God in your life? Is it possible you have religion, but you don't have the Spirit of God? You have no joy. You have no fire. Something is missing. I think that's a wonderful question. If I were to ask you today, do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? Can others see Christ in us? It's a very relevant question. Let me repeat. If I look at your life and you look at my life and your family members look at your life, can they see the Spirit of Christ? Can they see the Holy Spirit in your life? Is there transformation? Is there a change? If there is none, you ask yourself, why not? Perhaps I have religion. Think about it. You have no desire for prayer, no desire for fasting. It does not appeal to you at all. Mike, I just have to ask you, why not? You see, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. Without the Holy Spirit, everything is legalistic. You won't have the strength. It's a struggle. So Paul tells the Ephesians. He wrote to the Ephesians.
this doctrine. Let's read. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Paul is now saying, when you believe, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, the day you believe, the moment you believe, grammatically, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, Paul was surprised. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? How come? I don't see evidence. And now he writes them. The day you believe in the gospel, the good news about Jesus, he died and rose again. In other words, repentance is good news, forgiveness is good news, but believing in Jesus is good news. When you believe the entire gospel, the Bible says, you have the Holy Spirit. Look at the next verse. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with the view to the redemption of God's own possessions, to the praise of His glory. Now, let me retranslate this word. The Holy Spirit is given as a pledge. Literally, down payment. Now, what is the meaning of down payment? The down payment is a proof that the balance will follow. The Bible tells you when you come to Jesus by faith, God guarantees you something. He gives you a down payment. The down payment is the Holy Spirit. And everything He promised will happen. It's like when I want to buy a piece of property, when I want to buy a house and lot, I will tell the seller, "Pwede po, can I give you a down payment first? 10%, 20%. The balance, I will pay." You know why you need the down payment? Because the down payment is what? The proof that you will fulfill the balance. God is telling you, my children, to prove to you that you will surely go to heaven and your inheritance will be yours, I'm going to give you a down payment. The down payment of God for you and for me is the Holy Spirit. So once you understand this, the Holy Spirit gives you assurance of salvation because that is the down payment. And heaven, your rewards in heaven, all the rest is guaranteed to follow. What's the down payment? Holy Spirit. Having said that, you now need to understand the difference between the guaranteed payment of the Holy Spirit, the presence, indwelling, and the filling. So he wrote to the book to the people at Ephesus. Indwelling versus filling. They are not the same. Indwelling happens upon salvation. When you believe by faith, Jesus, you are saved. Filling is another story. Total surrender. You are indwelt by faith. Filled by faith also. You ask by faith. It's permanent indwelling. Feeling moment by moment. That's where most people don't understand. And that's why we are going, CCF is going to give you a gift. We have prepared a booklet called the Holy Spirit Booklet. It's going to be given to all of you on the following condition. Condition number one, you want to really know about how to be controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit. When you go out of our worship service today, everybody, you are allowed one copy for free. Honest system. Don't get a free copy if you don't care to be filled or controlled by the Spirit. You know why? We are selling this for 20 pesos per booklet. If this is a blessing to you, I want you to buy more of this and share this with your friends. This is all about the Holy Spirit. And I want to speak to all D-group leaders. All D-group leaders, we have come up with a video on the lessons on the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all of these are in videos. I want all D-group leaders to teach it to their D-groups about the Holy Spirit. It's so important. You need to experience, louder, experience what? The power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And many Christians are living mediocre, anemic Christian life. No joy, no peace, no excitement. So, you just come here every Sunday. It has become a ritual. That is not God's plan. He wants you to experience His life. So you need Him, Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, in Acts 19, after making sure they have the Holy Spirit, what did the Apostle Paul do? The next step, he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. In other words, the Christian life is not blind faith. The Christian life is reasonable. It's logical. And he taught them about the kingdom of God using the scripture. Why? Read the next verse. When some were becoming hardened, disobedient, speaking evil of the way, before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. What did Paul do? The Christian life is not just experiential. You need the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But you also need God's Word. You need truth. And what he did, God's Spirit plus God's Word, truth, to help people grow. And that's what he did. He began teaching them. But the truth is this. Some were hardened and become disobedient. Everybody, how do you develop a hard heart? Let me teach you. I will teach you something bad today. To have a hard heart is when you study something from God and God tells you to do it and you don't do it. Let me repeat. When you allow compromises in your life, if you allow what you know is true but you don't act upon it, you develop a hardened heart. In Tagalog, matigas ang puso, pagkatapos namamanhid. You become callous. You become numb. And that's why many people don't get excited about worship, about study of the Bible after a while. You know why? Because callousness will develop. Let me ask you a question. Why will God reveal himself some more truth to you if you are not obeying what you know? Why will God make himself real in your life some more if what you know already, you are not obeying? And that, my friend, is the greatest challenge of God's people. Do not allow yourself to become hardened. If you keep coming here every Sunday, but you are living in sin, you are compromising. God asks you to forgive people. You don't forgive. You harbor bitterness. God is telling you what you are doing is wrong. You need to repent, but you refuse. Eventually, you will lose interest. You will lose your fire, and you become hardened. That's what happened here. And Paul is a very wise discipler. What Paul did, he took away the disciples, reasoning them daily. He moved them from synagogue to a school, Tyrannus school. And scholars tell us he would meet them at 11 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a very unique time. Let me tell you why. People at Ephesus take a long, long siesta. They stop working 11 o'clock in the morning up to 4. So what do people do? They sleep. What did Paul do? He taught the Bible. So he got the disciples from 11 to 4. He taught them every day. What did Paul do in the morning? He was making tents. He's a businessman, self-supporting. What will he do at night? He will work. But the point is, he taught these people amazing truth. Now, why do you need God's Word? The Bible tells us, everybody read, all Scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Raise your hands. Higher. How many of you read the Bible on a regular basis? Raise your hands. Higher. You know, Pastor Jim, we have improved a lot. Higher, higher. Raise your hands higher. You are now reading the Bible regularly. Higher. Now, there are some of you who are not yet reading the Bible. I want to ask you why. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, but you are not reading it, why? Is that a good question to ask? If you believe the Bible is the Word of God,
and you don't desire to read the Bible, there are only two possibilities. Number one, you don't have the Spirit of God. There's no life. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, long for the pure milk of the Word. You must long for the Word of God like milk so you will grow. A baby is gonna drink milk because the baby has life. But the baby will not drink milk if the baby is sick. So only two possibilities. Number one, the baby is dead, no life. Number two, the baby is sick, no appetite. Now, I don't know which one are you. Spiritually dead or spiritually sick? But the good news, you need the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you why? Let's read this together. Let's read together. If our gospel is veiled, the Bible says if you cannot understand the gospel, you cannot understand the Bible, it is veiled. From the Tagalog word belo, veiled, you cannot see. It is veiled to those who are perishing. Apparently, in this room today, you have two kinds of people. Those who are perishing and those who are saved. What's the evidence? Let's continue. Why is the Bible so dry to some people? Because they cannot understand. Why can they not understand? In whose case, everybody read, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. In other words, you cannot understand. You are blinded. That's why you have no interest. You will only have interest by the grace of God if you have God's Spirit in your heart. So the Bible is very clear. Let's read this together. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So there was a time in my life, I want to be honest with you. When I read the Bible, I fall asleep. I have absolutely zero desire to study the Bible. No desire. One day, I had a personal encounter with Jesus. He opened my eyes. The day I met Jesus in a very personal, intimate way, I had developed that desire to study the Bible. Today, I read the Bible as much as I can. Why? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that will give you the desire and the power and the understanding. Do not live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. And that's why many of us are spiritually weak. Because you are living the Christian life in your strength. You have never surrendered your life completely to the Holy Spirit. You don't understand. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? Number one, you need power to live the Christian life. Number two, you need power to understand the Bible. And that's what happened here. Can I tell you what happened in Ephesus? This took place for 2 years so that all who live in Asia heard the word of the Lord. How in the world can those who live in Asia hear about Jesus? Very simple. The Apostle Paul understood how to disciple people. To disciple people, you connect them to the Holy Spirit. Make sure they have the Holy Spirit. Number two, you make sure they study God's Word. So God's Word plus God's Spirit is equal to transformation. And that's what happened. Amazing. This took place for 2 years. Paul was teaching in Tyrannus school for 2 years. Truth. My friend, if you want to grow in the Lord, you don't just depend on experience. Experiential truth is wonderful. The fullness of the Holy Spirit, the joy, the fruit, wonderful. But you need to balance it with truth, God's Word. If not, you will have a problem. Are we clear? I remember this girl attending our Bible study. She received the Holy Spirit. She kept on attending Bible study. Then one day I did not know what was going on in her life. She told her boyfriend. I didn't even know she had a boyfriend. she told her boyfriend, "We cannot live in together anymore." And the boyfriend said, "Why not?" She said, "The Bible, God's word, says so." The boyfriend got angry. The boyfriend said, "Do you have another boyfriend?" And the girl said, "Yes." "Who is the boyfriend?" "Jesus." I cannot compete with Jesus. This girl had to take a step of faith. She left that relationship knowing that is her source of income, because her boyfriend is the one supporting her. The only problem is her boyfriend is married. She's a mistress. She said, against the Bible. Many years later, I discovered this girl who took a step of faith by the grace of God has become very successful financially. She's now part owner of a security agency. Now, that would have never happened to her if she did not walk by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit to do what is right. So, my friend, you need the Holy Spirit. Praise God. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So, handkerchiefs, aprons were even carried from his body to the sick. The diseases left and the evil spirits went out. My goodness, the Bible talks about extraordinary miracles. I thought miracles are extraordinary. But the writer of scriptures wanted to make a point. If you want to do God's work with power, you need God's Spirit. Now, miracles. Why is that important? Let me tell you why in the book of Acts. Let's read this together, everybody. "The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance," everybody read, "by signs, by wonders and miracles." Why is signs and wonders miracle? Because they were questioning the authority of Paul. They were saying, "You are a counterfeit apostle." And God affirmed the authority of Paul with signs and wonders. Now, be careful when people start selling you handkerchief, okay? Buy this handkerchief, $10, and if you have fever, if you have pneumonia, it will go away. Have you seen people doing that? That is called foolishness. My friend, the power is not in the handkerchief. The power is not in the apron. The power is God at work. So be careful. Don't use a narrative to start a business. $10, $10, $10. You buy this, sleep with this. My friend, there's a lot of foolishness going on. The power is in God. Notice the importance of miracles and wonders in the New Testament. Let's read this together. "God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will." People ask me, is this still happening today? My answer is yes. But you cannot demand miracles. But God does it. I've been to so many countries, so many places. And you hear a lot of this in Africa, in third world countries that are communists, because God has to show Himself mighty. And the Bible tells us an example of God's power at work. Some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this, and the evil spirit answered and said to them, "I recognize Jesus, I know about Paul, but who are you?" Now imagine, these people think you can do magic through the formulation of, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to live." My friend, Christianity is not hocus pocus. It is not naming some rituals and God's power is manifested. It has to do with personal relationship with Jesus. In this story, you have seven sons of a Jewish high priest, religious people. Not only that, They have children. And they were casting out demons. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, now, look at this. Seven sons versus one person. The voice came out. I recognize Jesus. I know about Paul. But who are you? Kakatakot yan. And you know what happened? The man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, subdued all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Friends, you have no power over the evil spirit if you don't have Jesus. Do nothing. You can use rituals, you can use magic, you can use incantation. It does not work. You will say, is it still happening today? Yes. I've asked one of our pastors to share with you what he experienced. Let's welcome Pastor Manny.
The question for most Christians today is this: does the Holy Spirit continue to empower His people today? I believe that the Holy Spirit will continue to empower His people until the mission is completed. You know, last May, we conducted a family breakthrough weekend in MMRC, and we talked about discipleship begins at home. After one session, one of the participants, a father, approached me. His name is Aid. He is a British national, married to a Filipina, and he has been a member of CCF for 2 years and is part of a small group. He said, Manny, I have a problem. I have two kids, 7 years old, and one of them are always angry. She shouts and she disobeys. And as he was telling his story, I was praying that the Holy Spirit may give me wisdom on how to answer him. So I asked, do you and your spouse fight in front of your kids? He said, yes, we always fight and we always shout at each other. In fact, we are fighting before we left the house and we were fighting in the car. I can't help it, Pastor Manny. I'm always angry. I'm angry at my staff. I'm angry at my helpers, with my wife. I'm always angry. I don't want to be angry anymore, but I just can't help it. So I said, do you want it out? He said, what do you mean you want it out? I said, I'll pray for you, but you need to confess your anger and bitterness and unforgiveness to the Lord. Then I'll pray for you so that the spirit of anger may leave you. So after Aid prayed and confessed, I laid my hands on him and commanded the spirit of anger to get out in Jesus' name. I said, Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing Aid and his family to come to the retreat. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for giving us the ability to change our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I command you, spirit of anger, get out. And then nothing happened. And then I said, I command you, spirit of anger, get out. Nothing happened again. And then I continued to pray, spirit of anger, spirit of unforgiveness, get out. You have no right in my brother's body and influence his action. Spirit of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness, get out in Jesus' name. Then Aid started to clench his fist and said to me, Pastor Manny, I don't know what's happening. I feel like there's pain in my hands. There's like pricking in my hands. I feel like it's huge. I feel like it's the hands of Thanos. And it's huge and it's trying to control. I feel like my hands are being pierced by pins. It's so painful. After hearing this, I held Aid's hand and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you, spirit of control, get out. Aid gagged and vomited, and after that, he said to me, I felt relieved. It's gone. It's gone. And then I said to him, what do you mean it's gone? He said, it left me. It's like magic, Pastor Manny. And I said, you know, never attribute this to magic. Never attribute this to me. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus who has set you free. Praise God. And then Aid said, can I confess one more thing since we're here? I replied, sure. He said, I'm struggling with lust as well because of my past sins. So I prayed to him saying, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you, spirit of lust, get out. Aid coughed and vomited even more. And I prayed, may the Lord fill this guy with your presence. May he be filled with joy and gentleness and self-control. And we praised the Lord together because he was set free. Now the Holy Spirit continues to perform his mighty acts even today, and we can experience God's power in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. All glory belongs to Jesus Christ alone.
You know, the danger of Christians today is you go through extreme. One extreme, we deny the reality of demons, of the devil. This is very common in the West. We attribute everything to mental problem, psychology, physical problem. Then you have the other extreme. The other extreme is you see demons all over the place. If your wife is acting up, oh, demonio, demonio. Every problem you see, demons, demons, demons. No, no, no. You have to know, in the Christian life, the truth is demons are real, yes or no? The truth is they attack us, but not every problem you have is from the devil. Sometimes it's your own fault. You don't eat properly, you don't exercise. So don't blame the devil. Many times we blame everything on the devil. I even know some people are casting out the spirit of sugar. You know, you go through extreme. These are the enemies of the Christian life, okay, for you to know. You know, we have the following enemies, the world. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the world. What do you mean, the world? Social media, television, your friends, the values of the school, the values of this world, or the most important thing is money. Friends, do not be conformed to the world. Flesh, Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desire. The word desire can be translated as the lust of the flesh. Lust and desire are not inherently bad. God gave us desire. Sexual desire, that's from God, nothing wrong. The desire for love, nothing wrong. But sin has corrupted. And that's why you need to practice self-control. So don't blame everything on the devil. He gets too much credit. But then the reality is this. Satan is real. Our struggle, let's read this together. Everybody, Ephesians 6, chapter 12. He wrote to the Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians specifically. Let's read together. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Notice the Bible is so specific. Paul knew our struggle is not against people. It's not your wife. It's not your children. It's not your boss. Behind all of this is the rulers, powers, the demonic forces at work against the world forces of this darkness. I praise God for Manny's testimony. I have many stories of my own, but I wanted to share with him because this power to overcome evil one is also with you. You don't always need a pastor Manny. You don't always need us. Today, I want to share with you, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have power. So the question is, do you have the Holy Spirit? The Bible is very clear. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil. Everybody read, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil is powerless if you have Christ in you. But without Christ, you can chant all this formula in the name of Jesus Christ, nothing's going to happen. Understand? How do you resist the devil? This is the most important thing I want you to leave home today. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You don't fight the devil with flesh. Everybody read. We are destroying speculations, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, the battle is in the mind. Understand, the battle is in your mind. Wrong thoughts about God, wrong thoughts about life. That's how the devil will control you. Can I tell you something? Wrong thinking will produce wrong emotions, wrong behavior. If you think God does not love you, why will you follow him? If you think God does not care for you, why will you follow him? So the devil's technique is to attack your mind and to give you wrong thinking. You are a product of the way you think. And the only way the devil will control you is to control your mind. So be aware of what you're thinking. You must take every thought. The Bible is very clear. Let's read. We are taking every thought captive. And that's why I memorize scriptures. That's why I read the Bible. The moment I have thoughts that are not biblical, like I want to attack somebody because that person deserves punishment, that's not from God. That's from the devil. So watch what you are thinking. The Bible tells us this became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who live in Ephesus. And fear fell upon all, and everybody read, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing, and disclosing their practices. You know, this is the power of God's Spirit and God's Word. It will change people. The Bible says these people who believe, who experience the Holy Spirit, what happened to them? They kept coming, confessing, and disclosing their practices. Friends, repentance is also only possible because of the Holy Spirit. You need to change. I remember the story of this guy. He went forward in a rally by Billy Graham in Chicago. He came to Christ. But he's part of the mafia. He's part of the gangster. He was so excited, he went to the pastor. He said, "Pastor, since you have Christian doctor, you have dentists who are Christian, is it possible to have Christian gangster?" See, friends, to come to Jesus will mean you let go. You need to give up certain things in order to keep on following Jesus. And without the Holy Spirit, you cannot do that. So look at the next verse. The next verse is beautiful. The next verse tells us, and many of those who practice magic brought their books together and began burning them. The willingness to let go of the past, burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them, and they found it 50,000 pieces of silver, equivalent to 30 million pesos. The value at that time now is probably what? Billions. I mean, they were willing to burn it. They were willing to burn their past. Let go because of following Jesus. So everybody read, the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. Do you know that God wants to use you? Do you believe God is powerful? Do you believe the Holy Spirit is powerful? But you, in order to experience His power, listen, you need His life in you. You need the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible. You need the Holy Spirit to overcome the evil one. But God wants to use you. I remember the story of somebody I just heard this week. I mean, to be precise, last week. He has been walking with the Lord. He learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. And he was in Eastern Africa some time ago to deliver money and goods for the poor Christians in Africa, eastern part of Africa. But there were three government officials who is giving them problem. They won't let them in. They were in, but they won't let them enter that particular village. So they had an executive council meeting. And the leader said, "You know what? Whatever we discuss here is useless. You all go home. Go back to your hotel. We meet at 6 o'clock tonight. And then you tell me what God is telling you to do, how to help the poor." So this guy went back to his hotel room. He listened to the Holy Spirit, and he was impressed upon his heart, "You go jogging." So he put on his shorts and started jogging. Now he kept jogging until he reached the center of the city. There was a basketball game with lots of people watching, and he loved basketball. And he was there watching. And suddenly, a black guy, "Look at him. You, come. You play basketball?" "Yes." "Are you good?" He said, "Well, I play." He's a Division I college basketball varsity player. Division I means top. So he's a good player. He said, okay, you play for us. This guy called timeout. He told one of the team members, you leave, you sub, you play. And then they played. He won because he was really good. And then they won. And then after the game, the black guy said, you come tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Championship game. The guy said, I cannot come tomorrow. I have to solve a problem. What problem? You know, we have these goods, we have this money, we want to help the poor in this village, but they won't allow us. Who is this day? Three officials. So he named them. One of them is me. He said, no problem. Tomorrow you come, you win, and I let you in. It's got amazing. You know why? What is the probability of this guy jogging to be in a place where one of the government officials loves basketball? What is the probability? And what is the probability of this black guy calling this guy, you come and play? You see, friends, God is real. Just learn to listen to him. My latest experience was this week. I was on the airplane flying from San Francisco to the Philippines. In the middle of the night, I got this prompting from the Holy Spirit. He said, share the gospel with the stewardess and the steward, because they were all together. You know, in the middle of the night, I get up, I go to the toilet, and then I go back. But then the Holy Spirit said, why are you going back? You see those people, they're doing nothing. They're just talking. You go share the gospel. Prompting of the Holy Spirit. I said, okay. So I met them. To make a long story short, I said, would you really like to know how to be sure you have eternal life? So I gave them the gospel presentation. But for the first, I seldom have this experience. I saw these adults crying. How can stewardess and steward be crying in the middle of the night through a simple presentation of the gospel of Jesus? Unless it is the Holy Spirit working. And I really experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Not me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. I am just an instrument. So to make a long story short, I praise God. They all prayed to receive Christ. Friends, God wants to use you. But are you willing to be used? But I want to ask all of you today, if God is speaking to you, you don't have any experience. You feel like the Holy Spirit is not real in your life. You have not experienced the presence of God's Spirit in your life. You have no power. You have religion, but you have no power. And you like to experience His power. I'd like you to respond to God. Is that okay with you? So let's bow our heads. Your heads are bowed down. I'm going to ask you, if God is speaking to you, you are not sure you have the Holy Spirit, and you want to be sure of the Holy Spirit, I want to pray for you. Will you raise your hands? Higher. You know you're in bondage. Something is wrong in your life, and you want deliverance. I want to pray for you first. Will you raise your hands? Anybody else? God has spoken to you, and God is saying, you know what? You need to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You need to surrender your life. You have been faking it. You have been doing religion for the longest time. With your heads bowed down, hands raised up, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm not even sure I have the Holy Spirit. I have not seen real transformation. I have religion, but Lord, I don't have joy. Lord Jesus, I come to you in humility. Will you change me? Will you come into my heart? Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Lord Jesus, I receive your gift of the Holy Spirit today by faith. Control my life. As your heads are still bowed down, those of you who want a personal encounter with Jesus, I want you to stand up. Yes, stand up. Between you and Jesus, and you want to be serious with the Lord, and you have raised your hands, will you stand up? Yes, stand up. You just prayed that prayer also, stand up. It is during this time when God speaks to you and another voice tells you, don't surrender. My friend, listen to the Holy Spirit. Surrender your life. And as you stand up, I want you to be willing to surrender everything to Jesus. The others, you can now stand. So the others, you stand up now also. Do you know, it is during this moment that will spell the difference for your entire future. I'm asking you to be willing to surrender your past. Somehow God's Spirit is not able to work in your life because you are holding back on something. And God is saying you need to surrender that. And I want you to tell the pastor who is praying for you, whatever that thing is, you tell him, you tell that person, the pastor or the leader, it can be a sin, a relationship, whatever it is. You say, Lord, help me. I want to get rid of this. And you make a decision to be willing to burn the bridges over your sin. Father God in heaven, I now commit to you the entire CCF, the satellites, and those who are here today, that you will speak to all of us. Comfort us with your Spirit, that you love us, you are on our side, you want to help us, you want to give us victory. But Father, it is us who is always stopping you because of our desire to cling on to our sin. Help us by faith to be willing to surrender everything. Will you bless everybody? In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.